Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today is a Monday afternoon. Hope you all made it through the weekend okay, because we know a lot of bad stuff tends to happen on the weekend, cause a lot of people consume a lot of alcohol over the weekend. So I hope that you made it, you know, through the weekend without getting arrested, ticketed, shot, whatever, all the dangers that are lurking behind these enemy lines. All right, today's date is June 27th, 2016. All right, so here is what I want to talk about with you today. And also, when I say talk about, I'm open to discussion. I am not some arrogant person who believes that he has all the answers or that he knows every damn thing. I'm still learning, people. I'm still learning. And if you have information that will help me in my learning, by all means, share it with me. Say, Scotty, I think you're wrong on that, and here's why I think you're wrong on that. I am certainly open to correction. I do not hate correction, because to hate correction is to hate knowledge. And only a fool hates knowledge, okay? So help me expand my knowledge on anything that I am discussing on Black Talk Radio News. All right, so our main topic today, after I go through some of the news headlines, I want to talk about the appropriation of black nationalism. And I want to thank Pascal Robert and Yvette Carnell for posting what they posted and saying that Clarence Thomas is the quintessential black nationalist. And what quintessential means is that he's the ideal. He's the perfect example of black nationalism. Now, I disagree with what they had to say, but if I had not come across that, I would not have done further research into black nationalism. All right. And here's another thing. Definitions are important. All right. The definition that you subscribe to as it pertains to black nationalism is important, because during my course of studies over the past 48 hours into black nationalism, there are some people calling things black nationalism that do not fit my definition of black nationalism. Let's look at the words black and nationalism. Well, we know black is a unofficial designation of non-white people, usually of African descent, who refer to themselves as black. Okay, this word or this label gained a lot of popularity during the 1960s, when you had black activists with the Black Panther Party confront James Brown about the music he was making and saying that, you know, we need music that promotes pride, that promotes unity, that, you know, promotes all these good things to a downtrodden, oppressed people. And then that's when he came out with I'm Black and I'm Proud. So, you know, there are different reasons that people subscribe to different labels, but for the purpose of the definition of black nationalism, that is the definition that of black that I am subscribing to for the purposes of describing or examining black nationalism. Now, let's look at nationalism. What does nationalism pertain to? What is the root or the action word in nationalism? But nation. Okay, so nationalism pertains to a nation. All right, so in my opinion, if you don't have a nation, all right, or if you are not striving to create a independent black nation apart from the U.S. government, then you are not a black nationalist by the strictest sense of the word. I don't care what these academics, how they define black nationalism, these people who write books, who have PhDs and other degrees and whatnot, none of that matters to me. You know, I don't care about all of that. You can be one of the so-called most educated person in the world and not have a lick of common damn sense. All right. So you will find, if you do your own research, you will hear black nationalism applied or misapplied to ideologies and movements that were not about establishing a black nation. So I actually wrote an article about that, or I don't know if I should call it an article or information graph, but I put it together, I published it a couple of hours ago, and you could take a look at that, and I will go down it. I will discuss it more in depth after we go through some of today's news. So again, if you have anything to contribute on this subject matter of black nationalism, by all means, please weigh in. And again, I am not looking for agreement. I'm looking for answers. Okay? I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for solutions. So give out the telephone number. It is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on air. There's also the web-based flash phone where you can make a free call as long as you have a pair of headsets. And let me go ahead and make sure the studio line is open. The studio line is open. You can hit us up on our Skype studio line at 704-951-5030. So again, I hope you made it through the weekend. Okay, lots of stuff has been going on over the weekend. Especially the news has been dominated by this vote by the people in the UK, the United Kingdom, to leave the European Union, and the stock market has been dropping as a result. I think it dropped over 500 and something points according to the article I read, but I'm, you know, don't quote me on that. I know it was in the hundreds of points. All right, and guess what? I'm ecstatic at the news that the stock market is wreaking havoc on the wealthiest white supremacists on the planet. Good job to the people in the UK, because these people are losing hundreds of millions of dollars in the stock market. And since we know that a lot of black people don't have real wealth anyway, I seriously doubt if we are going to be the most impacted by this negative activity on the stock market. Again, good job to the people in Britain. I hope the European Union breaks up. I hope the stock market crashes. I'm serious, man. I don't know why people want to save this evil country when it is apparent that we need to start over and create something new, because this ain't been working for certainly not for black people, if specifically, and not for non-white people. All right. The other article, and again, this is on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. Let me go ahead and share that Brexit article, because that's on my personal timeline. But I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that today. And I was actually asked a question about it yesterday on Time for Awakening Radio, which comes on Sundays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And I was asked by the host, Elliot, what I thought about that vote. And I was like, I don't care. I hope it crashed. We talking about white supremacy. We talking about white institutions. We're talking about the wealthiest white supremacists on the planet. I could care less. I could care less. I mean, I do care. And I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic that these white supremacists is losing so much money in the stock market. All right, let me move on to the next article. The next article is in reference to, again, you can follow along on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. The Supreme Court of the United States has been in the news a lot this week, as y'all might or may not know. Last week, they basically, for all intents and purposes, gutted the Fourth Amendment and made it legal for police officers to racially profile you, even though they don't use the word racially profiling, but they just call it profiling and whatnot. But we know who the hell they profiling, and it's black people more than anybody else, you know. And unless you're in one of those counties where the predominant population is poor white people, then you see more of them in the county jail than you will see black people. But for the most part, across this place, this concentration camp we living in, black people are targeted the most by police. And so, you know, the SCOTUS just gave, you know, them pretty much a license to racially profile, and saying that even if evidence is illegally obtained, if that person is a runaway slave, meaning that they have a warrant, that you can use that illegally obtained evidence to put that runaway slave into slavery on a prison plantation. All right. So now this is the other thing. Now check this out. The SCOTUS just ruled that, well, what they're doing is basically giving a green light to public officials to accept cash and gifts for their political influence. They just ruled in the case of the former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who had been convicted on public corruption charges, saying him and his wife took gifts in cash totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars. Over $100,000, let me not exaggerate, but it was over $100,000, might have been close to $200,000. And they were convicted of public corruption. All right. The Supreme Court just overturned his conviction. All right. So they just gave the green light to these public officials. You know, we were just talking about the other day about Chaka Fatah, the black congressman out of Pennsylvania who just got busted on public corruption charges. So he probably, I doubt it, but we'll see if this gets applied to his case. It already has been applied to another case in another state, in New York, where they let this other public official who was convicted on public corruption charges. The judge said, we're going to let you stay out of jail until the Supreme Court rules on the Bob McDonnell case. And so it's likely that he won't have to go to jail. These people are, I mean, this is sick. This is the sick country that we live in. They also just made sure that the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton family will not be charged with accepting gifts and so-called donations in exchange for favors from Hillary Clinton while she was at the State Department. This is the most corrupt nation on earth. Don't talk to me about no other country. All right. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We at ground zero for corruption. We at ground zero for racism. We at ground zero for slavery. So that's an article The Supreme Court just ruled, overturned the conviction on public corruption charges of Virginia governor or former Virginia governor Bob McDonald. Just crazy. Next story. After revelation about, this is a story that's coming to you from examiner.com by one of the COINTELPRO examiners, and Mr. Michael Richardson, who's doing great work in following up and publishing information on two of our comrades who are political prisoners. One of them has died already, but he just published an article. I'm going to share an excerpt from that article. It says, after revelations about the crimes of COINTELPRO operations directed by J. Edgar Hoover were made public, Mondo Wielenga, formerly David Rice, appealed to the Douglas County District Court to see his files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division. Both agencies refused to reveal Mondo's file to him. In the course of the litigation, Police Chief Richard Anderson, County Attorney David Knowles, and Assistant Prosecutors Arthur O. O'Leary and Sam Cooper all testify they knew nothing about any FBI role in the investigation of Mondo as a murder suspect. And they're lying. They're lying. Again, this information, this happened in this is going on in Omaha, Nebraska, although Mondo Wielenga has passed and gone on to be with the ancestors. His co-defendant, his comrade, Ed Poindexter, is still in prison, been in prison over 40-something years for nothing, for feeding black children, for teaching black children how to read, for organizing black people to develop community programs where we don't have to rely on anybody else since nobody wants to help us in the first damn place. All right? So, check out that article, Prosecution Cover-Up of FBI Role in the Omaha 2 Case Raises Questions. Next story. This next story is coming to you from TheGuardian.com. It is related, related to the sit-in we just saw Congressman John Lewis lead in Congress as they were trying to force a vote on a gun control bill that would tie gun purchases to the so-called terrorist watch list, talking about no fly, no buy, and all that garbage and what have you. Now, there was a guy by the name of Mark Ruffalo who was added to the terrorism watch list over a film called Gasland. All right, this is what I wrote about it. An environmental activist and filmmaker was placed on the terrorist watch list for organizing screenings of his film. But yeah, let's have a sit-in in Congress to strip people of their constitutional rights because they are on a fascist watch list maintained by the most organized terrorists on the planet. All right, this film, Gasland, was about the oil and gas industry and how they are harming the environment. So yes, the Obama administration, people in his cabinet, put this man on this terrorist watch list because he made a documentary exposing the crimes of the gas and oil industry in the United States. See, people be signing on the stuff and you know, falling in behind other people, and you just not thinking about things. You do not have all the information, nor are you seeking out all the information. So that's a good article. Again, Mark Ruffalo added to terrorism watch list over Gasland. And what makes it so hypocritical for John Lewis is because John Lewis was on the no-fly list, as well as a person who shared his name that lived in his county and wrote to John Lewis to help get him off of this watch list because he hadn't done anything wrong. So both John Lewis and one of his constituents in his district, but also by the name of John Lewis, both of them was on this watch list. John Lewis was complaining about how many times He got stopped at the airport because he on this no-fly list. He complained about how hard it was, even as a U.S. congressman, to get off this list. But then this man wants to use this list to strip people who have not been charged with crimes, strip them of their rights to firearms. So check out that story. Here is another story. A blistering congressional report reveals the Red Cross continuing in the imperialistic tradition of sabotaging Haiti's development. Again, let's point at the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation. One of her brothers, it was either her brother, yeah, it was her brother. I think his name is Tony Rodman, something like that. But one of her brothers is on a board of this mining corporation that got awarded the contracts to mine the gold that they found as a result of the earthquake in Haiti. Let me see. This is published. This is a video actually published by Atlanta Black Star. I don't know if it has any commentary. It's only about a little less than 2 minutes long. If it's no commentary, I'll just read what they say. Says, did the Red Cross steal from Haiti? According to a recent congressional report, the American Red Cross has spent $125 million of earthquake relief funds, nearly 25% of donations, but didn't spend it on relief. All right, let me stop it there. But they're saying less than 25%. Let me just back this up. Less than 25% was spent on actual projects to help people. And most of it went to what? Went into their damn bank accounts to pay their salaries and what have you. Same with the Clinton Foundation. They want to act like they helping all these poor people and mistreated people all over the world, but less than 10% of the hundreds of millions of dollars they've been taking in since the 90s has gone towards actually helping people, and has gone, the bulk of it has gone towards salaries. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Let me see. What's the next story? There is a good article by Glenn Ford that was published about a week ago. I don't know if you saw it. I just saw it a couple of hours ago. But what he wrote, the title of his article says, Sanders supporters need to split or get off the pot. And this is the excerpt from that really stood out to me. He wrote, and this is Glenn Ford, this election cycle, many will try to rationalize and ennoble their debasement in Philadelphia by joining an anti-fascist crusade against Donald Trump, attempting to juxtapose a fool's gold casino caricature of a fascist with the actually existing real thing. Hillary Clinton, the personification of imperial mega murder and domestic mass black incarceration, the queen of international chaos and would-be warden of the world's biggest gulag. Clearly, most progressives don't know what fascism looks like in the 21st century. Here's a clue. It listens to every communications device in the world, locks up more people, most of them non-white, than any other nation, and cackles, we came, we saw, he died over the body of an assassinated world leader. Go check that out. So basically what the gist of his article was saying, any so-called Sanders supporters, you supposed to believe in progressive values and this and that, if in fact Sanders does suspend his presidential campaign, which he has not, if he does not get the nomination, as neither of them have enough pledged delegates at this point, and it won't be decided until the convention, but if they shove Hillary Clinton down the throats of these people And then Sanders comes around, turns around and tells you to vote for Hillary Clinton to stop Donald Trump. Don't listen to that garbage. Don't listen to it. And as I told somebody, they talking about, well, I'm going to vote for Clinton because she's lesser of two evils. Look, you need to line up Hillary Clinton's track record right alongside Donald Trump's track record of actually practicing racism and white supremacy, and who has done the most harm to non-white people all over the planet. Because if you do that research, you will find that Hillary Clinton is the, I would say she might be one of the biggest threats on the planet to all non-white life. This woman is a sociopath. So check out that article. All right, I'm going to take a station identification break, short break, and then I'm going to come back. And I want to jump into the appropriation of black nationalism. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, the new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. The telephone number, if any time you would like to join in the dialogue, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-PAM. Hit star 6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That, again, is 704-951-5030. Please don't wait to the last minute if you have something to say, because of this program. I try to keep it to an hour, but since there, I can't go up to 2 hours before the next program comes on air. If need be, I will go over. But I got a lot on my plate, a lot to do, so I try to just, you know, be brief as possible. I don't like hearing my own self talk or anything like that. So I'm just going to spit the information out, and I'm gone. So if you got something to add, please don't hesitate to add. Now, as I stated, it has recently been suggested by Yvette Carnell and Pascal Robert, who I would call two grassroots social political pundits. All right. Robert writes for the Black Agenda Report, which Glenn Ford is the editor for. Yvette Carnell works with Boyce Watkins. She's also the publisher of Breaking Brown. Now, don't take this as I'm trying to say anything negative about those two people. I think they engage in very constructive activity of trying to inform black people. But when you start saying Clarence Thomas is the quintessential black nationalist, then I have to dispute that. I have to dispute that. Now, the only evidence that I saw presented of Clarence Thomas, who is Clarence Thomas, first of all, we're talking about the Supreme Court justice, the black man, or African-American would be a more appropriate term to apply to him. He is the only African-American who is on the Supreme Court of the United States. The only evidence presented of his black nationalism is that he admired Malcolm X and maybe a couple of other quote unquote black nationalist figures who I don't consider to be black nationalists at all, if I'm going to stick to the strict definition of the actual creation of a black nation, independent. All right. And he gravitated towards Malcolm X's message of self-sufficiency and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't look for no help from white people and what have you. All right. That is not evidence of black nationalism. Now, have some of these people who subscribe to black nationalism talked about those attributes of being self-sufficient, of not relying on racist white people to provide for your needs, and that we must unify and work together in order to, you know, minimize the impact of racism and white supremacy on us? You know, that does not necessarily make that person a black nationalist. Malcolm X is referred to as a black nationalist. He was not a black nationalist. Marcus Garvey is often referred to as black nationalist. I, up until about 12 hours ago, believed the same thing. But he was not a black nationalist. All right. Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois, because Pascal Robert shared like this book as further evidence that this some dude wrote talking about the golden years of black nationalism, and he named Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. Those were not black nationalists. They were not talking about separating from the United States government and establishing a independent self-governing nation. Now, again, what is your definition of a nation? Let me just put this out there. We have, and I've said it myself, and I bought into it. But again, I thank them. I thank them for posting what they posted, because it got me to examining my own beliefs. And then I came across more information that made me change my beliefs, based off of that information, that new information that I had not seen before or I had not considered. So we often hear about a black America. Remember Barack Obama gave that speech, there are not two Americas, a black America and a white America. There's one America and all of that. Well, really, he's right. There's no such thing as a black America. There is no nation on this earth known as Black America. There is no Black United States of America. So technically, he is correct. And we have said this. I've said it. I've bought into we're a black nation within the nation. And I got to thinking, well, damn, what is a nation? What are the attributes of a nation? A nation has its own economy. A nation has its own infrastructure. A nation has a military, has an army. The nation has elected leaders who lead it. A nation has programs to help those who live in that nation, who are citizens of that nation. A nation collects taxes to pay for infrastructure, the military, and all the other things associated with nationhood. So how is it correct for us to say we are a black nation within the nation when we paying taxes to the United States government, the federal and the state governments, if we live in a state that collects income taxes or sales taxes and other taxes, payroll taxes, and all that kind of stuff? How can we be a nation if we allowing the United States government to take our money to pay for that, whatever the hell they want to pay to spend that money on, to give it to Israel, to give it to Egypt, to give it to everybody but us, to invest in all these other nations but won't invest nothing in our community. How can we sit up there and credibly say we are a nation within a nation? No, we are not. We are a colonized, oppressed people trapped behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Let's just be real and honest with each other. Lying to ourselves will not solve anything. We are not a nation. There's no such thing as no black nation here within the United States. So I'll correct it myself. I will no longer subscribe to that point of view because it's not based on logic. It is not based on reality. Does it promote unity? Yeah, it serves the purpose of promoting unity, but it also serves the purpose of making us think we got something that we don't have. Nations do not pay taxes to other nations. They don't do that. So, I would say I may be wrong, but I'm not wrong. This is logic. We know what the attributes of a quote-unquote nation is, a country. And we don't have one. And let's be real about it. Now, if you want one, let's get involved in the work to establish one instead of pretending like we have one, because we don't. And that's just the hard truth of the matter. But getting back to why I decided to publish this piece, let's not slander black nationalism and real black nationalists with the likes of Clarence Thomas. Because one of the things that real black nationalists, as well as those called black nationalists but are not in fact black nationalists but more pan-Africanists, they are pan-Africanists, they are not black nationalists. Garvey was a pan-Africanist. Malcolm was a pan-Africanist. They were not black nationalists. They were not talking about establishing a black nation made up of the victims of USA Inc. But let's not slander anyone with the likes of Clarence Thomas. But black nationalists, I lost my train of thought. Sorry for that. But whether you are a Fox black nationalist or a real black nationalists don't marry white women like Clarence Thomas did. And I've even heard people refer to Frederick Douglass, a man who I have immense respect and admiration for as one of the premier abolitionists in this country, in the world, in fact. But Frederick Douglass never advocated for the establishment of a black nation, a real nation, not a false nation, not a fake nation. He never advocated for that. And after his black wife died, he married a white woman, an Irish white woman. Frederick Douglass was not a black nationalist. Black nationalists do not believe in race mixing. They don't. They also don't depend on white people to fund their institutions. They don't go with their hats in hand begging white corporations or the United States government for grants to fund their activities. They don't do that. That's against the code of black nationalism. Come on now. In fact, to say Clarence Thomas is a black nationalist is to slander black nationalism. Now, if we want, we got to study history to get accurate view and definitions. And so I feel like in this part of the world, what's known as the Western Hemisphere, which includes North America, South America, Canada, the Caribbean islands. This is the Western Hemisphere, okay? There is only one, what I would call, independent black nation in the Western Hemisphere, and that would be Haiti. So any study of black nationalism, meaning a independent black nation, has to start with Haiti. And I would argue that the case could be made that Toussaint, and I'm probably going to mess up his name, Louverture, the guy who led the Haitian Revolution, but was later captured by the French, but his understudy, a guy by the name of formerly enslaved African by the name of Dessalines, I would have to say that those two men perhaps are the fathers of black nationalism in the Western Hemisphere on this side of the planet. Dessalines announced the independence of Haiti on January the 1st in 1804. Okay? Those were black nationalists as they established a independent black nation that had all the things associated with a nation. Meaning they had their own government that they elected. I don't know what their military looks like today, or even if they even have one anymore. They used to. But if we want to start with black nationalism, we got to start in Haiti, in this part of the world. Now, the man who is recognized as the father of black nationalism was a freeborn black man with African noble bloodline by the name of Martin Robeson Delaney. He was born in 1812 and died in 1885. He is widely recognized as the father of black nationalism here in the United States. Nobody ever mentions Louverture or Dessalines as the fathers of black nationalism. They don't mention them, but I am including them because they are the only ones that actually was successful in establishing a black nation, so you can't leave them out. But here, behind these enemy lines, the father of black nationalism, who was inspired by the Haitian Revolution, he was born 2 years after Haiti declared its independence, and that would be Martin Robeson Delaney. All right, here's what I wrote about him. He was born free to a mother who was African royalty, but kidnapped and sold into slavery and brought to the United States. She would eventually get her freedom based on her noble blood, but she never returned to Africa. His father was an enslaved African, but Delaney was free like his mother. And again, this was all based on their African royal blood. All right. So Delaney would grow up to become a slavery abolitionist, a journalist. He worked with Frederick Douglass on the North Star. That was an abolitionist, one of the first abolitionist newspapers, totally under the control of black people. Again, Frederick Douglass and Delaney published that. He also was one of the first black men to be accepted into Harvard Medical School. He was a physician, and he also went on to become the very first commissioned officer ever in the United States military when he was commissioned as an officer in the Union Army. All right. I found out through researching this is that y'all, we all know the story about Frederick Douglass going to Lincoln and arguing with Lincoln. I ain't gonna say he was begging Lincoln, but he was demanding that Lincoln allow black people to get into the fight. All right. Now, Lincoln would not go for it. He wouldn't go for it. He, no, we ain't gonna do that. Cause Lincoln was a racist. And he wasn't really about liberating black people any damn way. All right. He was about keeping the Union intact. All right. So anyway, later on, I also think that the fact that they were losing played into the role of why they let black people join in the fight. I'm talking about the U.S. federal government. But Delaney came later and he made the same argument. And Lincoln listened to him. And he became the first commissioner. And not only did he did Delaney ask to allow black people to get in the fight, but he said that colored troops should be led by black officers. And he was commissioned as the first black officer in the Union Army, as he had recruited thousands of black men into the fight in the Civil War. They wouldn't have won the Civil War without black people, but that's an entirely different topic. All right. Now, he played around in politics for a time. I think he was actually became the mayor, if I remember correctly, the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina at one time. But he supported, you know, Republicans and different black people in office and what have you. But he became, he got some clarity, and he realized that the only way that black people was going to be free of racism and white terrorism was for them to leave the United States and establish their own nation. And he actually went to West Africa looking at some different places that black people in the United States could immigrate to in Africa and start a new black nation. Similar to Liberia, which Liberia is a nation in Africa made up of formerly enslaved black people. And I imagine some free black people went over there too. We got to stop buying into this lie that every black person was a descendant of an enslaved African, because that's a lie. It's like Delaney was born free. But I wouldn't even call Liberia, technically, it's a black nation. In reality, it's a colony of the United States government, because they allowed the government over there allows these white corporations to rape the land, pillage the resources, and all of that. They always kissing the behinds of the U.S. government. So, you know, technically they are an independent black nation, but mentally they are still colonized in their minds. And I'm not applying that to everyone in Liberia. I'm just applying it to their government. So Delaney was the father of black nationalism. He was talking about leaving, separating from these white folks, because they ain't gonna stop practicing racism. So we must go establish our own nation. He wasn't talking about we must gain control of our black towns and our black communities and control the economics in our communities and all of that kind. No, he was like, let's leave. We got to leave. We got to get out of here. These folks ain't gonna stop it. They gonna keep practicing racism to the day they die. And I'm not just talking about individual acts of racism. I'm talking about institutional racism, the kind that is still impacting us to this day. Now, I then started considering other people who I have have in my mind looked at as being black nationalists. But then I was like, wait a minute, they ain't talking about establishing a black nation like the father of black nationalism here in the United States. They ain't talking about nothing that the Haitians were talking about or doing, not talking about it, but doing it. Marcus Garvey would be the next notable person, but Marcus Garvey never advocated for black people to leave these people behind and go establish our own black nations. Instead, what he was preaching was pan-Africanism. He was talking about black people unifying together and practicing cooperative economics, controlling our communities, establishing relationships with African nations and nations that have predominantly black populations, like in the Caribbean. Of course, he was from Jamaica, which is still a British colony, really, if you think about it. All right, they ain't never got their true independence. That's why David Cameron was over there telling them, hey, we'll give y'all some money for this or that, but we ain't paying y'all no reparations. That's because they ain't independent from the United Kingdom. So Marcus Garvey was not a black nationalist. He was a pan-Africanist. He did talk about the need for African nations to rise up and achieve greatness. And he used some tough words towards Africans, the people in Africa, and comparing them to Europeans. But at no time did he tell black people anywhere in the world, let's all leave these European nations, let's leave the United States, and let's go to Africa and establish a new nation. He didn't say that. I thought he did, but I was wrong upon further study. See, that was me listening to other people and not doing the research for myself. So Marcus Garvey was not a black nationalist. Was he a great black leader? Most certainly he was. But he does not fit the definition of a black nationalist. See, we have to buy into other people's watered down definitions a black nationalism in order to make Garvey a black nationalist. This is not what he was practicing, was not black nationalism. Did it have some attributes of black nationalism? Of course it did. You can't have a nation if the people are not unified. You can't have a nation if the people don't cooperate to build that nation, to run that nation, and to sustain that nation. You got to have cooperation and unity among black folks in order to have. But that was not his goal. That was not his aim. His aim was pan-Africanism. That was the philosophy under which he was operating. Black people, no matter where they are in the world, establishing relationships with each other and helping each other to improve our conditions, no matter where we are. But he did not advocate for the founding of an independent black nation. Now, the next person that I was calling a black nationalist and believe was a black nationalist, and I had actually studied this person. I read Malcolm X's biography. I've listened to all his speeches. I've read many, many different things written about him and by him. And, you know, I don't understand why I did not pick up that he wasn't a black nationalist. He was a pan-Africanist. He preached the same things that Garvey preached. Black cooperative economics, black unity in the face of all this racist violence. He talked about building bridges of trade with Africa and opening up dialogue with African nations because they were in a better position to present our case of human rights violations to the United Nations better than we could, because they have actual nations. We don't have United Nations representation in the UN because we are not a nation. It's not that hard to understand when you think about it. And so I'm not downgrading or denigrating anybody for what they don't know, because again, some of this stuff I just only started considering in the past 48 hours. And I was thinking like everybody else, yeah, Malcolm X, black nationalist. But he wasn't talking about separating in terms of creating a independent black nation subject to no other nation. Again, we could talk about a black nation within a nation all we want to, but that ain't nationhood. We paying taxes to the United States government. They force our men and soon to be women to register for the draft to be used in their military and all of their wars of aggression against the non-white people of the world. We ain't no nation. And that's just the simple, hard facts of the matter. If anybody has an alternative viewpoint, more information to share, like maybe I'm wrong about Malcolm X and I missed the part where he was talking about establishing an independent black nation, or I missed the part where Marcus Garvey was talking about establishing an independent black nation in the true sense of the word. Maybe I missed that part of it in my research. It's possible. So if you have some information to the contrary, please share that with me, and then I can feel confident in describing these men as black nationalists. Otherwise, I will just simply refer to them with the more accurate term of pan-Africanists. Black nationalism and pan-Africanism are not the same things. And I've seen some people in that book that was written that Pascal Robert shared, tried to act like, from what I could read in the description of the book, like those two are the same thing. They are not the same thing. You don't even have to be black to be a pan-Africanist. You ain't even got to be descendant of melanated African people to be a pan-Africanist. Muammar Gaddafi, the former prime minister before he was murdered by Hillary Clinton's thugs, was a pan-Africanist. But he wasn't black and he wasn't African, unless you're talking about African meaning he was born on the continent of Africa. But he was a Berber. He was a Berber descendant, which I think were a bunch of desert nomads, more closely related genetically to Arabs. But he was a pan-Africanist. And Malcolm X even talked about the pale-skinned pan-Africanist he met when he was going, you know, overseas visiting Africa and Muslim countries. So you don't even have to be black to be a pan-Africanist. So Malcolm X, I will no longer refer to him as a black nationalist, but I will refer to him as a pan-Africanist. Again, this does not take away from anything they done or proposed for black people. Many of the things that they shared were very, very constructive for black people in our current condition. But those things that they propose, taken here or there, does not equal black nationalism. I'm sticking to a strict definition of black nationalism. I'm not going to play loosey-goosey with the phrase and use it to apply to W.E.B. Du Bois or Booker T. Washington, as that book suggested. Neither of those men talked about leaving America and going to Africa. Neither of those men talked about acquiring some territory and which would serve as the landmass for a black nation. No, they did not. Booker T was all about education and industrialism and you know, us creating businesses, industrial businesses and things of that nature to lift us out of poverty. W.E.B. Du Bois is known for what do they call that? The 10% or stuff, where he was talking about, you know, you got a certain percentage of black people who are highly educated and highly skilled, and we need them to become the teachers of the black people who were not educated and not skilled. He was also a eugenist. And he worked with white people who were eugenicists. Meaning that you're talking about using things like birth control and abortion and all that kind of stuff to suppress the black population or depopulate the black population. He believed in that's not a black nationalist type thinking there. All right. So he was not a black nationalist, W.E.B. Du Bois. Again, we have to have a broad definition of black nationalism to include all these people when none of them ever talked about establishing a black nation. How can you be a black nationalist and not be talking about establishing an independent black nation subject to no one? We can't be a nation without a nation, and we are not even doing anything. Well, I ain't gonna say not doing anything, but we're not acting like a nation that's under attack by another nation, are we? We are not sending our troops and our army, because we don't have one, out there in the street to battle the soldiers of white supremacy. We ain't doing that. Because we don't have a nation. We are subject to their laws, their regulations, their powers. They take our money straight up before we even get it in our hands from wherever our employer is. Here they come taking the money before you even got it in your own hands. How can you say you part of a black nation? That, to me, is not nationhood. Now, that's not to say people like Marcus Garvey, people like Malcolm X, and there are probably many, many others that I don't even know their names. But that is not to say they did not have an influence on later black nationalists. But the father of black nationalism in the United States, we had to go back to Martin Robeson Delaney, who preceded Garvey and Malcolm X and anybody else. All right. I do not see another call for independent black nation until we get to 1968, when Malcolm X in Detroit, they had I forget the name of it. Let me see if I wrote it down. I know I linked to it in the article. But I don't see another group. I mean, I don't see anybody else talking about establishing a black nation until there was some kind of conference that was held in Detroit, Michigan in 1968. And out of that conference, the vision for the Republic of New Africa was born. The first chairman or president of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa was one of my all-time greats, and that was Robert F. Williams of Negro with Guns fame, who at the time was living in exile in China when the Republic of New Africa was created on paper. All right, you got to have a vision. You got to put that vision down on paper, because that, when you put it on paper, it just reinforces that vision in your own mind, and then you work towards making that piece of paper manifest itself, that vision manifest itself in the physical reality. So the Republic of New Africa never actually acquired any property or any land masses to establish this black nation. But they had a vision for one, and they worked towards that. Some of those members of the Republic of New Africa, citizens, I should say, of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa, like Mutulu Shakur, are political prisoners to this day. Persecuted by COINTELPRO, the FBI, for talking this black nationhood talk. Let me just share some information about the Republic of New Africa. The Republic of New Africa is a black nationalist organization that was created in 1969. The organization was created in 1969, but the vision came out of that conference they had in Detroit that Malcolm X was the convener of in 1968, the year before. But anyway, the Republic of New Africa is a black nationalist organization that was created in 1969 on the premise that an independent black republic should be created out of the southern United States of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, which were considered subjugated lands. The group's manifesto demanded the United States government pay $400 billion in reparations for injustices of slavery and segregation. It also argued that African Americans should be allowed to vote on self-determination, as that opportunity was not provided at the end of slavery, when the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution incorporated African Americans into the United States. Now, I'm going to go with the term that I just learned from Ronnie. I forget Ronnie's last name, but he hosts the new program on Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station called Dark Matters. And he says the term African American refers to a conquered people. So I'm assuming they're talking about the descendants of enslaved Africans, which, again, I will keep stressing that not every black person was brought here as no enslaved African, that we were here before the colonies were even created, before the Europeans got here. We were here. And even once the colonies were established, there were black colonists. The 1860 census prior to the Civil War listed 500,000 free black people. Now, it's possible some of those 500,000 were at one time enslaved and later got their freedom. But I'm telling you, there's a huge population of free black people on this continent who they have tried to hide from you. So I'm assuming that's who they're talking about when they're talking about, well, I shouldn't assume that. They could be talking about all black people. But I am now subscribing to the term as Ronnie McLean described, because I never subscribed to African American anyway, because I ain't want to be associated with the United States government and all the evil it's doing throughout the world. So I'm just black. I'm black. I belong to a group of oppressed people, but I am not an African American. I am not a conquered. I am not part of a conquered group. Well, I guess I am, really, because I can't do what I want to do, really what I want to do. So I might as well say, you know, we conquered as well, even whether we free or the descendants of enslaved. We've been conquered, man. And that's the reality of it. Let's just face that reality. The economy of the RNA, again, talking about the Republic of New Africa, was to be organized based on UJAMA, the Tanzanian model of cooperative economics and community self-sufficiency. You can go on. I linked to the rest of it. You can read more. They talked about a military, establishing a military, and that all black men would be required to serve in this military. I didn't read many details on that, but you have nations that do that. For a certain amount of years, you have to be in the military to provide for the national defense. That's one of the proposals of the Republic of New Africa. But again, that's a vision unrealized. That's a goal that was never achieved. And the Republic of New Africa only exists on paper. But they are black nationalists in the true sense of the word black nationalism, because they are talking about true independence. They are not talking about being subjugated to the United States government. So those are my thoughts and my contribution to this discussion on black nationalism. Sure, you can, depending upon how you define black nationalism, I guess you could say a whole bunch of people is black nationalists. But I reject those definitions. And I'm holding to the strict definition that black nationalism is about the establishment of an independent black nation that has all, not some, but all the attributes of a nation. Hell, we can even point to some countries in Africa that I wouldn't even call African nations, because they ain't in control of their own destiny. They are subjected to racism and global white supremacy, especially through the economic global system, which I hope crashes. Burn! I hope it crash and burn. And let something new, something more just rise from the ashes. But we don't have to accept other people's definitions if they do not make logical sense. And we should reject those. But again, how in the hell can anybody, unless they have a terrible misunderstanding about black nationalism, consider Clarence Thomas, married to a right-wing racist suspect white woman? How can you consider that man a black, say he's the quintessential black nationalist? Quintessential means the perfect example of a black nationalist. And then they did this to attack Clarence Thomas' vote to institutionalize or legalize racial profiling. So how the hell you gonna jump from one vote that legalizes racial profiling and then use that to paint him as a black nationalist? That's just not logical. It ain't logical. It makes absolutely no sense. I'm sorry. I hate to be that guy, but I got to be that guy. I will not let the likes of Mr. Delaney be slandered with the likes of Clarence Thomas. I will not let the likes of Robert F. Williams and and all the other chairmen that followed him of the Republic of New Africa, I will not let them be slandered with the likes of Clarence Thomas. And neither should you. That's my program. Later on today, in just about 45 minutes, Tando Radio Show will be on air. I think Brother Dave will be continuing his coverage of the financial markets and whatnot. Again, as I talked about at the beginning of the program, the stock market is wreaking havoc on the most wealthiest white supremacists on the planet. I couldn't be happier. That's how I'm viewing a UK vote. I hope more of them vote to leave the European Union. I hope the global economy crashes and burns, because we ain't benefiting from it as black people. And we ain't running it. So what the hell do we care? Like Brother Dave and them talk about, and the reason Tando Radio Show was brought to this network was to get black people to think about preparing for the worst, to be self-sufficient, to prepare for emergencies, to become preppers. Because I want this country, this corporation, to dissolve. It ain't worth saving. Because like Martin Robeson Delaney said, they ain't never gonna stop practicing institutional racism. So let the whole thing burn to the freaking ground. As Robert F. Williams said, let it burn. This is Scotty Reed. Recognize the fact that we live behind enemy lines. Casualties are being created out there every day. So you need to come up with means to defend yourself and to keep yourself out of these situations that's leading so many black people to the grave or to the prison plantation, which is modern day slavery. Peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe out there.